Everyone, welcome back to the Fundamentally Sound podcast, powered by CLNS Media. This is episode 52, and we are bringing back Drew Russell of Intersport. Drew, what's going on, my man?
How you doing, Bobby? Good to see you.
Good, yeah, good to talk to you again. If you guys are familiar with the name Drew Russell, that's because we had him on earlier in the year, I guess technically last year since it's 2018 now, to talk about the 3-on-3 at the Final Four. And Drew, just in case people didn't listen to that episode, why don't you kind of talk about the background of the 3-on-3 and what the event is taking place down there at San Antonio?
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks again for having me back on. It's been a whirlwind since we originally announced. We have been working feverishly to line up sponsors and distribution platforms and really nail down the fine tuned details of the tournament itself. But over the course of the summer, obviously, there was a lot of hype around the Big Three and Ice Cube's Pro League, and the IOC had announced that, 3-on-3 basketball was going to be a part of the 2020 Olympic Games. And we sat back and said, hey, there's really an opportunity to have an elite tournament at the college level featuring actual Division I players. 3-on-3 has been going on campuses all across the country from a grassroots perspective for many years. But we saw this as a really, really unique opportunity. So back in August, we announced that we were creating the 3-on-3U National Championship. And we're going to take 128 of the top players from around the country. These will be seniors that are eligible to participate. And we're going to put all-star teams together from the 32 Division I conferences. We're going to fly them into San Antonio, and they're going to battle it out in 3-on-3 action over the course of 3 days. And we've got $100,000. On the line. So when we announced this back in August, it was widely applauded by the college basketball media and everybody else that we talked to. So we're excited to be a point where we are ready to announce a title sponsor and also our distribution platforms and a number of other details for the tournament itself.
So with the 3-on-3, how's the scoring structure? Is it going to be make it take it? Is it going to be to 21? Have you guys decided kind of how that setup's going to
be? Yeah, absolutely. No, we will follow pretty closely FIBA rules. So general international rules with, maybe a few tweaks here and there. But they will be 10-minute games or the first to 21. Anything inside the arc is worth a point. Anything outside the arc is worth 2 points. There are no checks. And I think that's what's really unique about the game. It is so fast paced. So when the offensive team scores, the defensive team just kicks the ball back out in the perimeter and they go. They either drive to the basket or shoot a three. And the same on offensive rebounds. So we're really excited about the fast-paced nature of the action, in addition to, kind of the quick 10-minute spans for each of these games. That works well with my attention span.
Yeah, part of that, in the release that came out earlier today is the announcement that it's going to be streamed on Twitter and ESPN. What's kind of the thought process with Twitter? Is it because of the short, the shortened game of 10 minutes that, hey, it's something easy to pull up on your phone or desktop, whatever it might be, and, you can catch all the action, like you said, in 10 minutes?
Yeah, it's good. It's, again, that those were the key things when we announced and we got such good reception for this event. We really went at it to find a time to title sponsor. We're very excited to bring Dos Equis on board, just a cool brand and really aligns well with what we're trying to do. And then the other core piece of that was, where were we going to show these games? I think traditionally our approach has been linear television, and we talked to all the cable and broadcast networks and evaluated all those opportunities. But Twitter offered a really unique platform on their live side of things. And I just think and essentially what we'll do is we'll have 24 pool play games on Friday evening streamed on Twitter's live platform. We'll have another 24 pool play games on Saturday. And then our 4 quarterfinal games on Sunday will be streamed on Twitter. And then we will move over to ESPN2 for the semifinals and the best of 3 championship. And I think Twitter's unique because we have traditionally relied on audiences to come find us if we're on linear television. And what Twitter provides us with the opportunity is it's a push-pull effect. Not only are we going to be able to be there live in action, But we're also, our sponsors and Twitter itself are going to be sending out promotional tweets to targeted audience members, guys like you and I that follow, you know, college basketball reporters and different things like that in the marketplace. And we'll get live updates throughout the tournament and the opportunity to connect over to the Twitter live platform to watch the games. And I think that works really well with, you know, the 10 minutes of action in and out. So we're excited about that.
You mentioned pool play. Have you guys figured out kind of how the pools are going to be organized? Is it going to be 8-4 teams or 8-4 teams? Is it going to be 4-8 teams?
Yep.
Is it going to be, you know, drawing out of the hat, or is it going to be conferences aligned geographically? Have you guys kind of figured out that at all?
Yeah, I think what we're going to do is we will definitely have 8 pools of 4 teams each. And I think we're going to wait and see and use some of the metrics at the end of the season. And again, there's no rhyme or reason to why we do it, but we want to align, you know, some of the bigger conferences, the bigger name conferences with some of the smaller conferences. And we want to get some separation across the pools. So we'll probably use, you know, either, you know, KenPom conference rankings or RPI on the end, or a combination of those to determine a ranking, you know, a comprehensive ranking for each of the conferences. And then we'll seed them accordingly. So if a conference has, you know, a lower ranking across, they'll be matched up in the same pool with one of the conferences that has the highest ranking. So seemed like the best way to disperse the talent across the board. And I will say this too, every team that comes down there will get a guaranteed 3 games.
Yeah, I think some of the power rankings that you left out are the one that I'm doing on the 3x3U Twitter page. I think those might be the most valuable to look at, just in my
own
opinion.
We'll get rid of everything else and just use yours. That's good by me.
It's a new formula. It's just whatever my brain spits out instead of like KenPom.
It's probably just as accurate as everything else.
Obviously, when you guys announced this back in, what was it, October, I want to say, give or take, September maybe when the first
Late August.
It was August?
Yeah.
Okay, so late August. The big thing that I think people really took away from was, you know, oh, holy hell, there's $100,000 on the line. That's cool. And at the time, you know, you guys hadn't figured out, is it going to be like the TBT where it's winner take all? Is it going to be split? How have you guys have now figured out how it's going to be? What's the breakdown for the 100K prize pool?
Yeah, we thought long and hard about this. And what was the right way to go. And what we've decided to do is basically break it down, and we're going to award $1,000 for each win. So everybody has the opportunity to come home with a little something. And so how that'll work is, again, there are 48 pool play games. So that's $48,000 that'll be dispersed during the first 2 days of pool play. That'll get us down to 8 pool winners. So in the quarterfinals and semifinals, we'll also give $1,000 to those winners. And then it'll be $50,000 in the winner-take-all best-of-3 championship series. So theoretically, if you win 3 pool play games, and then you win your quarterfinal games and you win your semifinal games, and then you win the championship, you can walk home with $55,000, which will be dispersed among the 4 players on your team. So not a bad takeaway for these guys. And again, the reason why we're doing this is, one, we want more 3-on-3 action here in the United States. I think that's important, especially as it becomes an Olympic sport in 2020. These are guys that have put their blood, sweat, and tears into their college programs for 4 years, and this is a cool opportunity to not only reward them for that effort, but also expose them to the new 3-on-3 game, and give them one last hurrah there on the national stage, which will be a lot of fun.
It's obviously seniors that have exhausted eligibility. How are you guys, I guess, going about making sure that there's no possible grad transfer? Is it just talking to, I guess, a compliance member at a school if you know, there's someone there that's going to be selected, and, hey, we're just making sure he doesn't have another year of eligibility somewhere?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, we're going to work closely, and we've done this because, again, like I've mentioned, we've run the State Farm College Slam Dunk and 3-Point Championships for 30 years now, and have worked closely with coaches, director of basketball ops, SIDs, athletic directors, et cetera, to get players into the mix. And we essentially follow the same rules on that side where they've got to be eligible seniors. So we'll be working closely to make sure that we are not compromising anybody's eligibility in any way, shape, or form. So that'll be important. And also, again, you know, leaning on guys like you and the rest of the committee headed up by Andy Katz. We've got a 19-member selection committee that has released an early watch list. We're going to do another one here at the end, and those will essentially be our nominees, and then we'll go out and recruit those players.
Have you, since the original announcement, have you heard any feedback from coaches or athletic directors, positive or negative, about this?
Everybody we've talked to across the board, whether that's at the administrative level, you know, to the media level, you know, loves the idea. Just because, again, it's so unique. I think there's some real positive buzz around the fact that we are talking about seniors here.
Right.
And guys that, like I said, have really put everything on the line for their programs, and now it's an opportunity. And, you know, unfortunately, their seasons at this point would have ended a little earlier than they had hoped, and their careers had ended a little earlier than they had hoped. So to give them one more time, and to give some of these players that never would have had the opportunity to come to the Final Four city, in a place like San Antonio, with all the buzz and everything around that, I think everybody's, you know, all for creating opportunities for student athletes like that.
Are you going to have a backup? Like, let's say Trayvon Blewett gets selected from Xavier, and Xavier gets on a run and gets to the Final Four. I guess, when's the final roster announcement? Like, would that be announced before the Final Four, and then, you know, you kind of have a replacement player lined up?
Yeah, one of the unique things that we're doing that as a part of our Twitter relationship is, we are actually a week from today, we are going to launch a show called The Heat Check on Twitter, and it's going to be a live show. It's essentially going to be kind of an alternative take on the sport of college basketball. It's not X's and O's, it's not highlights, but it's more of, you know, kind of the meme-worthy GIF type stuff that's happening, the social viral nature of the sport. We're going to talk to players via Andy Katz. We're going to talk to selection committee members like yourself throughout the course of that. And those are going to run three times weekly leading up to it. And so, again, college basketball in general, but each episode will give a nod to the three-on-three U national championship. Once we get to Final Four week, we're going to have four consecutive roster reveal shows Monday through Thursday of that week. And that's when we'll officially announce those rosters. So I will say it's a rolling process. We'll start talking to those guys and locking those guys in as soon as their seasons are officially complete. But that does mean that we're probably not going to be naming and finalizing these rosters until, you know, the day before the event in some cases, because if a guy gets knocked out in the Elite Eight and we're making arrangements for him to come, that's going to take a little time on the back end. So it's going to be a hectic couple weeks, but a fun couple weeks locking all these guys in.
Now, the event is actually going to be held, like you said, in San Antonio at St. Mary's University.
Yep.
Is it going to be, I'm assuming it's going to be open to the public, that they can buy tickets and come watch, you know, these seniors play?
Yep. It will be at St. Mary's University. St. Mary's is right outside of San Antonio. It's a Division II university. Great, great facility. And we're going to make it a really unique environment there. This is not going to be your traditional, you know, kind of empty gymnasium. I mean, you know, this is going to look more like a television set than the Lahaina Civic Center in some cases, if I were to use an analogy there. And not that there's anything wrong with that. That's a really cool environment, but we're going to try to do some really interesting things. And that's what this is all about, is to try to create the most interesting, you know, college basketball environment and tournament and alternative environment that we've ever seen. So 100% tickets will be available. They go on sale today. And there are all kinds of packages. You can buy a single day pass for pool play. You could buy, you know, a 2-day pass for the weekend, or you could buy, you know, all three across the board. You know, reasonably priced. We're not talking about more than $10 per ticket. And it's going to be a really fun time for basketball junkies and other folks that want to participate in the festivities down there.
Now, you mentioned a couple times now, and in the release, obviously, it's mentioned that Dos Equis is the title sponsor. How did that come about? Did you guys reach out to Dos Equis? Did they reach out to you? Was it a because it just makes sense, obviously, you know, that's celebrating college and college accomplishments, well, for the most part, you think beer when it comes to college. So it seems like a perfect fit. How did
Yeah,
that come about?
we work closely with the Dos Equis team and actually work with them. They're an official college football playoff sponsor as well, and have been for the past 2 years. And I think they have had such success on that side that they were looking for a way to kind of extend their college sports marketing plan to March Madness, but they weren't an official partner of the NCAA tournament.
Right.
And this was a unique way to get in and participate and kind of carve something out versus just buying another 30-second spot on one of the traditional linear television broadcasts. So I really applaud Dos Equis for being, innovative and testing the waters with us. This is going to be an evolution. They've been great partners thus far. They're going to be promoting it locally. San Antonio is a huge market for Dos Equis consumption, as you might imagine. So that's, you'll see it. It'll be flowing all weekend long on the Riverwalk. And just like a nice marriage. I mean, they've been, their kind of calling card has been interesting. They had the most interesting man, et cetera. And again, that's why we're working with them to create kind of the most interesting college basketball environment possible for fans and these players alike. I mean, those are our two targets. Our targets are college basketball fans, but we also want to do this for the players and give them something that they can remember for a very long time.
Now, you're a basketball fan. Obviously, I know that just from talking to you, throughout the months. What conference are you kind of most intrigued by to see kind of come together at this event?
Well, I'm a North Carolina grad, so the ACC always appeals to me, and right from the start, you look at some of the names across the board, Theo Pinson and Joel Berry and Grayson Allen and Bonzi Colson, if he can get healthy, Matt Farrell. There are just so many names across the board that are big names that and guys that, based on the way their seasons are going, may be available.
Right.
But other than that, I think. I just keep hearing Big East, Big East, Big East, and everybody keeps talking about Seton Hall could field their own team. So I think that's unique. But that's what's so cool about this event is, the Sun Belt Conference, the Ivy League, the MEAC, all these everybody's going to have a shot, and it's going to be really interesting to see these guys come together where many of them have only faced each other in college. Some of them, I guess, could have played growing up or been on the AAU circuit. And for them to come together, get together on the court for the very first time, is going to be really unique because the game is so different. So I think the tournament as a whole is going to be up for grabs. And I think that's what we're most excited about is truly, everybody, this isn't like the NCAA tournament where, well, you get past that first weekend and all the big boys show up. Like, we could have, who knows what we're going to have on Sunday. It could be a total mixed bag. And that's one of the things we're taking a lot of care in is teaching these guys the game. We have one of the top 3-on-3 referee and officiating crews out there that are going to be coming down working with these guys. We'll bring them down on Wednesday, a Final Four week. They'll have all day Thursday and Friday morning to practice and work together. We're also going to bring in some other guys that are a part of, the USA Basketball 3-on-3 experience to help, kind of help tutor these guys, train these guys, and put them to work. So we expect a really competitive environment and a lot of fun.
So they have about a day of kind of practice and training when they're down there?
Yep.
And then.
Yeah, we're going to bring them in again Wednesday night. We're going to bring them in. We're going to put them all together, and we're going to give them kind of a welcome for the weekend and then put a 3-on-3 tutorial together for those guys so they understand what they're headed into on Thursday. Then Thursday, they're going to each get practice time. They're going to each get some scrimmage time against teams from some of the other pools. And then Friday they'll have, one last opportunity for shoot around, et cetera. So we don't want to just have a bunch of mismatched guys, coming in here and saying like, all right, let's give this a shot. We want these guys to really understand the game, understand the nuances, and work together because that's what's going to make the greatest tournament.
You mentioned how Seton Hall could field a team by itself, Purdue, another team that could probably field a team by itself. I know when the initial roster release came out, people were kind of wondering how the setup is. Do you guys still plan on trying to get just one representative from each team and not have multiple guys, obviously barring circumstance?
Yeah, I think we're open to up to two. I don't think we'd have more than three, you know, more than two guys from a team as a part of this. We don't want to limit ourselves,
right?
Just by being a single, but to put three together, you know, if we have a conference where you put three guys together from one team and they never had any type of postseason play, they're sort of at a pretty significant advantage, and we don't want to create that. But I think two per team is the max.
And then you mentioned, you know, you guys run the dunk contest, and earlier in the podcast you mentioned how, hey, we're going to have, you know, these smaller guys, their smaller conference guys have a chance. Have you noticed in the dunk contest, like the low major conference guys that are represented there kind of have the chip on their shoulder? Like, hey, I want to show that, you know, I obviously dunking's a little bit different, but hey, you know, I want to win this one for, you know, Rio Grande Valley or whoever it might be.
Yeah. Oh, totally. Yeah, nine times out of, first of all, most of our dunkers are from smaller schools. And that's what's really unique about the Venn. Our 3-point shooters, you know, some of the more traditional names that you hear about throughout. But when we're looking for dunkers, we're looking for a unique athlete that has a unique skill set, and not everybody's got that. And so we dig far and wide to find those guys. And it's totally true. Not only are they incredible athletes, but they do have that chip on their shoulder, and they want to, you know, they want to show out for that name on their chest for one final time, which is exciting. We run an online competition for the final spot. We call it the Dark Horse Dunker Competition. You're able to vote in the last dunker. And I think we've done that for six or so years. And I think, you know, three or four out of our six Dark Horse Dunkers that have been voted in, guys from even smaller schools than what we're talking about, have won the actual competition. So I think that chip on your shoulder mentality will definitely reign true for the 3-on-3 U National Championship as well.
All right, Drew, I'll let you get out of here, but one last question is, what can the fans expect with this 3-on-3? What's your selling point to them on this one?
Yeah, I think, you know, if you haven't had the opportunity to see a 3-on-3 game, and the Big Three had some different rules and changes, but if you want to watch some international basketball, I'd encourage everybody, you know, go Google some international or USA basketball 3-on-3 action. It is wild. And just that fast-paced nature and the fact that we're going to be paying these guys out for each game, and we're just going to create, I mean, we just want to create kind of a nonstop action-packed hoops festival. I think one of the unique things that we'll do is we'll have a full court in front of us, and we'll have action taking place on both sides of that court because it's a half-court game. And so, for instance, on Friday night, you know, we'll tip off at 7 p.m. Eastern time on one court, and when that game's winding down at about 10 minutes after, we'll tip off on the other court. So you get a little bit of that old NCAA tournament, you know, feel of, you know, one game's winding down while another game started. So just nonstop action back and forth. And again, keep your eye, you know, follow us at 3x3U Hoops on Twitter. Again, a week from now, we'll be showing this live show each week, called the Heat Check, that will focus on college basketball. So just a lot of fun, just a lot of competitive action, and we're just trying to do something that's unique and has never been done before.
Yeah, like Drew said, make sure you follow the show, 3x3U Hoops, or not the show, the event, 3x3U Hoops, on Twitter. I take over that handle from time to time, with Thursdays kind of being the most interactive day for everyone, where I do an hour mailbag. So make sure you follow that, and you can, you know, hop in there, and you can buy tickets, get event updates, details, and rules and all that if you go to 3x3uhoops.com. Drew, my man, I appreciate it.
No, I appreciate it. Everything you've got going on and how you've helped us on the way, Riggs, we're excited to have you as a part of this thing, and we'd be excited to have you down in San Antonio covering this as a social media correspondent as well.
Yeah, man, I can't wait. As I always request at the end of the show, please rate, review, subscribe, follow the show at Fundamentally SD, and I will be back probably later in the week for the second episode of the week. Thanks again, guys.